Welcome, everyone, to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. We have Ann back with us this week. It's nice to have you back, Ann.
Thank you, Robin. Hello, everyone.
And Karen is there with Ann back in Texas. Nice to not have you with us, Karen. I mean, it isn't nice not to have you with us, but...
Well, okay.
I know. But welcome, Miss Karen. And, of course, what's that?
She said, hi, everybody.
And Megan. Hello, Megan.
Hello, Robin and
the
ladies.
Chilly Vermonters, right?
Yes, it's spring in Vermont. It's not exactly toasty yet.
It's a cool and damp day here. I actually didn't have a fire all day yesterday, but I've had one going all day today. It's chilly. So last week, we began 7 Steps to Fighting in the Spirit, and we looked at scriptures, that would speak of asking the Lord to use your spirit and also pray without ceasing. And that, these are things to do. I know that, prayer is something that we all need to do for ourselves, need to do to, I mean, we need to come before the Lord. We need to come before Him and acknowledge Him. We need to come before Him to find help and strength for our day, but we need to come before Him on behalf of the brethren, as the brethren needs to do for us. That we might fight this battle and do the will of God and learn to do the will of God is really, more like it. So, you know, ask
Robin,
the Lord
can
to
I
use your
something.
Yes.
Another thing is to pray without ceasing, to not just pray when something happens. You have to be prayed up for these things so that you're already prayed up for things that are going on, and you're already in that praying mode. And you, when you pray without ceasing, you're always seeking Him. And in that way, it's better. It works better because you're prayed up. And David talks about being prayed up for things. And that just came to mind to mention that.
That's a good point. You know, the thing is we're to keep our heart and mind stayed upon Him. And we can't do that by just once a day coming before Him. It's an aspect, Karen, of what you said. And He is our hope. So to stay connected and knowledgeable and avail ourselves of it, is needful for us to learn. You know,
an example.
Go ahead.
An example of what Karen's talking about is the day Joseph died. Steve had a habit of every time the children stubbed their toe or got whacked by the sibling or whatever, every time that there was a pain or an injury of some sort, no matter how small, Steve would pray for them. I, on the other hand, being a nurse and not wanting to coddle children and stuff, I didn't. I'd look at it and decide it was not a big deal and ignore it. And the fact that Steve, now I pray every time. But, because I learned my lesson, I hope. But when Steve walked in and Joseph was dead, it wasn't, oh my goodness, this is just such an enormous deal. It was just another thing because he was already practiced in lifting everything up to the Lord. This was just another thing. It was a big thing, but it was really just another thing, if you know what I mean. If
well,
he hadn't had the practice, he may not have had the faith at that time.
His practice was born through believing the testimony that he had received from Davy. and doing it.
Yeah.
It wasn't just something that was particular and, you know, something that needs to be particular to Steve, I guess is what I'm saying. He believed the word of God at the mouth of Davy and put it into practice, and therefore, keeping his heart and mind stayed upon the Lord, was ready. I know he said in his testimony that he remembered the testimony of Davy and Kim.
Yes. But, all, you know, if he, that is a certainly something that he did.
But the thing is he believed it, and he didn't believe it in the sense of, oh, look at what Davy can do. He believed it in the sense of this is what the Word God says. And I am certain that I am not alone when I say to make the transfer from knowing what the Word says or what somebody has rightly ministered to us to actually digesting it and doing it can be two entirely different things. But we have to know that the Word of God is true and that we can do it. And if we know that, then we will do as, Megan, you give testimony of Steve having done. I will tell you, when the children were here a couple weekends ago, Sam had an ankle or a knee. He had something that had been bothering him. You may remember better than me. And I prayed for him, and we had walked up the road, and he said it was still bothering him. And I said, well, Sam, you need to rebuke it. And you know what? His knee was completely fine. He obviously did that, and it was never unhealthy again. I don't think you've heard a complaint from him either. But he stood in that which he was through his parents knew was true, and was healed. He was delivered of whatever it was that was going on. And so you see the fruit of that, because Sam is what, six? Seven. He's seven, right?
Yes, he's seven.
There's all these children, you know.
Joseph, his own brother this morning, was thinking he was six, so you're not alone.
Well, no, you know how come I knew he wasn't? Because I know that Joe's nine, and I know Sam is, you know, generally, except for a three-month period or so. 3 months, I mean, 2 years behind him, so it's easy to follow your children's ages along if you know any of them. Uh-huh. But anyways, so we're going to look at read and stay in the Word. I know something that's been said a lot was, if all you do is come to Bible studies, you kid yourself. You got to get the Word in you. You got to know the Word if you want to be able to stand in it. I hear people say a lot of times they believe, but I think to myself, yeah, but what do you believe? Obviously, you don't believe the Word of God, but they don't know the Word of God. You know, it matters what we believe. And the only way to know what to believe is to by reading His Word. So, Megan, did you want to start with 2 Timothy 3:15?
All right. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This is Paul writing to Timothy, and Timothy obviously has been in the Word since he was a child. He was very young. And the Scripture is able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. There's something to bring up here too, is when they talk in the New Testament about Scriptures, and hear that Timothy had been in the Scriptures his whole life, basically, and other Scriptures we'll be looking at today, when they talk about search the Scriptures and so forth, there was no New Testament then.
they're talking about what we call the Old Testament. That was the only scriptures available in that time. So there's people out there who say, I can't read the Old Testament because I'm a Christian and I just read the New Testament. Then you're missing out on what Paul and Timothy and Peter and all learned by reading what we call the Old Testament.
Yeah. And in there we really see a picture of what the walk of faith looks like. Not that we don't in those who we see in the New Testament, but gosh, we have Genesis with the men and women that walked in that. We have, you know, then Exodus, Judges, Joshua, or Joshua Judges. We have the kings. I mean, you see what the walk of faith looks like, and you see that God used ordinary people, and you see their start. And you see their end. And so when we look at a couple of these scriptures here, I hope that you'll see that in the scriptures, if you will know them, which only comes by reading them, that the very hope that they came to know is right there for us to come to know.
Another thing, too, is reading the prophets. You'll see Jesus.
Well, and you know, Daniel, of course, is in the prophets, but you see a man who gives testimony to hearing the prophets. He gives testimony to having read and seen what Jeremiah had said. He understood that the Lord had fulfilled what he spoke through Jeremiah, and he also knew the time frame from reading Jeremiah by which the children of Israel would go back. He knew why they were there, and he knew the word of God about going back. You know, the thing that's amazing to me, talking about faith, it might have been on a Tuesday night Bible study, not last night, maybe the night before, but actually, it wasn't. I know what it was. But anyways, you know, it's easy not to have faith. It was talking about Elizabeth and Zacharias, and Zacharias was greeted with, you know, Zacharias, be of good cheer. Your prayers have been heard, you know, and he's going to have a son. And Zacharias, being old, doesn't believe. And gosh, I mean, I don't think any of us don't understand that. But I thought about Joseph, who told the children of Israel to take his bones with them when they left Egypt. Now, the promise of being in captivity and leaving Egypt was given to Abraham. And yet, Joseph knew it was going to come to pass. And because of that, he said, you take my bones with you. Now, that's the faith that we're called to have. It doesn't have to happen right now.
That was hundreds of years.
What's that?
That was hundreds of years before it happened, and he was dead already, you know? And yet it was that important, and he knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, he believed the word of God. And that's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, is to believe him. And Joseph's life shows a man that didn't have a easy life. He passed through things in a right manner and a right understanding. And gosh, his brothers who stood trembling, his outlook on it, and his brothers had tried to kill him and they sold him into slavery. I mean, they hadn't done anything nice to the guy. Was that God had sent him ahead for this very time. I mean, he looked at it as the provision of God, not the evil of his brothers. They had a hard time getting their arms wrapped around that one.
You know, something else that just struck me as you're saying how he knew the promise to Abraham was that it was not written at that point. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and Moses was, you know, 300-400 years after Joseph.
Yeah.
And so we have the written word that we are able to get into and know the word of the Lord and his promises and his ways and the gospel I mean, it's been the same as people, you know, we've talked about it before, how people try and discount the Old Testament, but the gospel's been the same since the beginning. By faith, you are saved. Abraham, Abel, Noah, you know, you name the people.
The one thing that you didn't say is when we look at these people in the Old Testament, we should take hope because we see the faithfulness of God. They did leave Egypt, and their, Joseph's bones were taken. And so in there, not only do we see a pattern, but we also, what we really see is that God is trustworthy. And we were talking earlier, because the truth is every one of us knows that, but we don't necessarily trust him. And we got to do that because we can't be obedient if we don't. So, Karen, John 5:39, and would you read that one and Romans 15:4, please?
Yes. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And Romans 15:4 is, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
So like Anne, a really good point was this was the Old Testament. Search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me. And to put it plainly to you, if you don't really know that the Old Testament ministered the gospel, the same salvation, Jesus is the only way. He was the only way for Adam, and he's the only way for the last person standing. He always has been the only way. And every man or woman who stood up in him and believed because they believed that he would make the perfect sacrifice for their sin. They didn't believe because they didn't think they were sinners. They knew they were sinners. And we know that the law was given as a schoolmaster to show the Jews their need for a savior, not to show them how they could in their flesh be perfect, but the fact that they couldn't be, but that sacrifice that they made yearly looking towards it would ultimately be made once for all. And that sacrifice that God made on behalf of us took place on that cross. You see Abraham testify of it to Isaac, and in the offering up of Isaac, you see David testify of it. Having to stand up because of God's mercy and grace, not because he was in any way deserving. And his testimony there was when he had to do that, when he really had to do that, that now he was in a place to teach transgressors God's ways and sinners would be converted unto him. It's all right there, the hope, the truth, the sacrifice, you know, the provision. God did what it took. Now it's up to us to know his word and to believe it. And if we believe it, it'll be shown because we're going to obey it and do it. I would have just said do, but it really comes through obedience. One of the scriptures that, you know, it says here, it's for our learning, Romans 15:4. We're written for our learning. I know that when I look back at the time when the children of Israel went and rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem after they were in captivity in Babylon, that they withstood a lot of pressure to stop them. They would, and you know, not only that, but you have to figure that they also worked together to do it, which if you're honest with yourself, that's not man's strong point, working together. But they did it because they walked in obedience to those whom God had set over them. When they were told to do something, when they had to withstand and do it in the presence of what would seem very dangerous circumstances, what they chose was obedience. And you can see when you read the word that there's no getting around the truth. And then the New Testament, of course, we see it spoken and performed in a somewhat different light, but it's this exact same thing, the exact same call, the exact same way. And you got to know the word, and then the Lord has something to work with inside of you. And then when you hear Bible studies and when you hear things, he has something to quicken in you. And it also gives you, you'll grow in discernment of that which doesn't line up with it. And you'll be able to not come into agreement with that which is the lie. But this doesn't just happen because you accepted the Lord. It's the part we have to do then to know him. You can't know him without taking that which he has given you by which to do so and ignore it. And you can trust him. You know, there's, you read the word and you read it and ask him that it will dwell richly in you, and ask him that he will give you the understanding, and ask him that he will show you his ways, and he'll do that. Those are things he is desirous to do. And you gotta trust him for it. Know that he shall perform it if you will do that part which he's asked you to do. And just as a little side note, those who we look up to and those who we see walk by faith, that's how they got to walk by faith. They just didn't sit there and think, well, I mean, they actually did what it took to get there. And so must we. That's the only way to do it. 2 Timothy 2:15, a scripture we're all familiar with.
Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
So, Megan, I know you looked up that word study.
Yes, it is a word that comes from a word which comes from a word, but they all mean speed. They have other definitions like making an effort, earnestness, diligence, labor, eagerness, haste, forwardness, speed, diligently, earnestly, to await eagerly. So there's a not wasting timeness that happens with this as you read the word and you be quick to put it into practice, which shows you have learned it.
That word approved, one of the synonyms for it is tried. How the heck can you be tried if you're not doing something? You know?
The thing that always stands out to me in this verse is that you study to show yourself approved unto God.
Yeah.
Not yourself or another person, but unto the Lord. And it kind of goes along with where Jesus is talking about getting in your closet before the Father. And the Father, who sees in secret what you're doing, rewards you openly. And when you are in a right place with the Lord, you don't have to speak a word. People can see it in you. But your approval comes from the Lord, not from men.
Amen. And you made a good point saying not your own approval, because we tend to, well, we definitely err when we're looking at it from our own eyes, one way or another. We don't get that one right. But a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. You know, the only way to rightly divide the truth is to apply it to yourself, get up and walk in it so that you can learn. Just like when the Lord says that you have to be as one of these little children. Back when the disciples were trying to keep the children away from him, unless you have faith like one of these children. And the thing that we all know with a child is they want to crawl, they want to walk, they want to talk, they want to ride a bike, they want to run, they want to do everything. And the only way that they end up doing those things is by falling and failing and trying again. I mean, gosh, you take a child up to play baseball in the beginning and they are just plain and simple pitiful. You know, and we all cheer at absolutely nothing because that's about all you get to see. If they do anything right, it's like, wow, cool, get to first base. But that's the only way you learn. And the one thing about a child and that faith is they're looking at that end. And so what it takes really doesn't affect them. Else they would never crawl, they would never talk, and they'd never walk. Because none of them do it just the first time. Period. And none of them do it well for quite a while. And yet, they all learn to walk and talk. They quit crawling, but and so it is with us. And if we will do that and have the, and it's really a humble place because you're going to fall, you're going to make mistakes, but that's, you know, rightly dividing the word of truth is to accept that. It's just the truth. But it's, there's a mighty hope that we need to press on towards knowing it is doable. And you have to have both. You have to have humbleness that you'll press on to do it and to learn it because you don't start off knowing it. And then, but you have to have that hope that you know you can and that you will break through if you don't give up. And we do get hung up on our failures. And if that's the rule of our life, which is associated with pride, we can't get to the end that the Lord would have us get to. And we really do this by the grace that we're saved by. And it is the very thing then that allows us to minister the same to another that they might do it too. So when we can get a right handle on this walk and this fight and the call of God and what we need to do, we'll actually call it good. But we got to go through it, which kind of leads me into point four, preach the gospel, be in season and out of season, because you really have to learn the gospel first and accept it and apply it and be willing to have it be sufficient. And in that place, you also understand that you need to then walk in obedience. That's a walk, not a sit. And in that, then, we can obey his command to preach the gospel. And I know we were talking about it earlier, so I'll let Karen read it and let people share. Mark 16:15, another scripture that we know more than what Karen's going to read.
Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Anne, did you want to share on this?
No, not right now.
Okay, does anybody? I'm just opening up the floor for you guys. I know you guys were saying things before.
Well, what I had said before was preaching the gospel is we each have our own testimony, and they're all different. And it's what we know. It's what the Lord has done for us. So that's what we should go out and preach to people, because we personally have experienced things that the Lord has done for us. And just go out there. You don't have to know anything. You just have to say what your experience was with the Lord. We don't have to know a bunch of scriptures and all that stuff. But it's a, you know, it's a way of preaching the gospel to every creature, because really we don't have to give them any of our knowledge, just our experience.
And that is the only thing we're supposed to preach, is the gospel. Yes. And because we have experienced the gospel, then that's what we preach. You don't need to preach all the other things in, all the letters from Paul or from Peter or from Jude. You preach the gospel. That's it. And you can tell how the gospel hasn't affected your life and what has happened because of the gospel. A lot of times when people go out and start spouting off about things that Paul had written or things in Revelation, it's just pride. It looks how much I know. Aren't I brilliant? I am so spiritual because I know all this stuff. Then you're out there and you're not preaching the gospel.
Amen. And if we know the gospel, it means we know that we're sinners saved by the blood of the Lamb, by the grace of God, not by anything about us. And we also know the Word of God says the humble will hear and be glad. We have a message that will make glad the hearts of those who will hear. And they got to get their feet on that foundation first before any of the other stuff matters. But Megan, you had a great scripture that you should share.
The one in Luke?
Yes. But give the context of it for the people when you go to read it.
Sure. Well, it's like has been said, you share what the Lord has done for you. Karen has, her testimony in the beginning was the Lord delivered her from asthma. That's what she shared with the doctor. And if he had heard it, he would have received the gospel. Joseph died. And because of that, and was raised from the dead, and because of that, I was able to speak to a woman who was fearful about her children dying. And I was able to tell her about how my child had died and the Lord had raised him. As yet, I don't think she's actually received that, the gospel and the fact that the Lord is there for her too. But that's what we're to share. As Anne was saying, we preach the gospel. The gospel is, I'm a sinner. Jesus died to cover me so that I can be with him. And the same is true for you. And you see in Luke chapter 8, verse 39, this is the Gadarene demoniac that the story's about, who was not even able to be chained. He was so very possessed and so very strong. Because of the legion of devils he had, he was out there naked and in the tombs and whatnot. And when the people came, they saw him clothed and in his right mind, and he wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said to him in verse 39, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city, that how great things Jesus had done unto him. And what you see later is when Jesus is back in that area, after they've now shoved him out and said, please go away. When he comes back the next time, they ask him to please stay, because now this man's testimony, they've seen it. An example of that, really, of people here, a quick one that comes to my mind is Tink. The Lord did a wonderful thing in her life, and she's continued to live that for the last, I don't know, however many years now, 4, 5, 3, something. But it's there for people to see, and now there are other people who are around her who've seen that this isn't just some fluke or some, great mental attitude or some other thing that they can blame it on or attribute it to, rather. But that this is actually the work of the living God in a person's life. And that's what you see here with the Gadarene demoniac. Preach the gospel, what Jesus has done for you.
The thing that is so evident there too, if you are willing to see it, is what did that man say? I mean, that man was possessed beyond a normal possession. And his testimony would have been that Jesus had set him free. That isn't like a glorifying to him testimony, but he rejoiced in having been set free and was pleased to give evidence to it. He didn't come saying, I wasn't a sinner. I mean, he knew he was a sinner. The Lord uses the base things of the world. I have to tell you, it reminds me of Mary Magdalene, who the Lord cast 7 devils out of, and yet she was the first person he appeared to after he was resurrected. A woman who was obviously of no good report before she met Jesus. And yet she was humble and pleased to be accepted and forgiven and delivered. And go ahead.
I was just thinking, one of the other kind of benefits of preaching the gospel of what the Lord has done for you is it is so easy over time, and it doesn't take much time, mind you, but the passage of time, for you to take something the Lord did that you at the time knew was his intervention, his provision, his kindness, his mercy, his presence in your life, and for you to somehow attribute that to being something worthwhile on your own part. And when you share the gospel with somebody else who does not know the Lord, it's a reminder to you that it's him who did it, and it's not because you somehow were worthy of him, but because he is worthy of us to trust him, and he loves us, and it just kind of, it helps bring us back the focus to it being about him and not about us. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's an amen, definitely.
Amen.
We are saved by the gospel, not of any work we do. From the first moment to the last, right?
Yep.
And that's that faith that Paul gave that report of to Timothy. You read Paul's writings and he speaks of, forgetting those things which are behind. That meant he had things to forget, but pressing on to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, he was like any man who had to war that good warfare and apply that gospel and trust that gospel and stand in that gospel. But the end of his conversation, having done that, was that he had kept the faith. And that is the faith. Jesus Christ and him crucified. For me and for you and for those who we meet in the way.
Robin, can I mention something?
Yep.
There was something in the chat about preaching the gospel, and then it's not our job to find out if they accepted the Lord or anything like that. And it's just our job to plant the seed. And I don't want to get off on another whole tangent on this, but it is true that if we share the gospel with somebody, then if they don't accept it, they could maybe someday down the road from somebody else accept it. Years from now, and what you have started is that seed that gets planted and maybe flourishes later on, but it's not our job to follow up on that unless they come back to us and they want more of the Lord.
It's not our job to try and make them believe either.
I just wanted to mention that because that was mentioned in the chat.
Thank you, Karen. Yeah, it says that, some plant and other water, but God giveth the increase. Acts 10:42. Now this was, it's a scripture that comes from Peter's preaching the word to Cornelius, the Gentile, in Acts, the one whom the Lord poured out his Holy Spirit on in the presence of Peter and those who had come. So Acts 10:42, Karen.
And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead.
Now, to me, there's two things right there. One is he commanded them. He didn't say if you feel like it or when you feel like it, but it was a command. And so is Mark 16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. But the other thing is, you know, and to testify, we've been talking about testifying that which we know. Well, these men he walked with and they were close to him and they saw the beginning and the end of Jesus's conversation on the earth in the sense of from when he came out at age 30. And they were in a position. They had something to testify of, and the command was to do so. And you see here Peter obeying it. I mean, gosh, he got up and went with these men. He went in and ministered the gospel. This was all out of obedience. It wasn't out of Peter's understanding. It was simply out of obedience. And, I mean, you cannot get around obedience. Just can't do it. And not grow in the Lord and be his. I mean, you can get around it, but the end of that conversation isn't any that any of us want. So we got to learn obedience. And you see it right there. He did that which the Lord had told him. And we know the end of that was that those people there were saved. They were baptized in the blood. They were baptized in water. And they were baptized in the Spirit. Actually, they were baptized in the Spirit before the water, because Peter says, you know, can we forbid water to these men whom the Lord has given the Holy Spirit to? And they were then had the complete baptism that we know of from reading the Word of God. Did you guys want to say anything before we move forward?
No, go ahead.
2 Timothy 4:2.
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine.
Preach the word.
That's another command. That's
yeah,
another
and
command.
It, not what you think, right, Ann?
Right.
Not what you've learned somewhere else. Preach the word.
Amen. And that's something we all have to remember.
Yeah. Yes, we do. And we do it, we're ready to do it all the time. Be instant in season and out of season. It doesn't really matter what we're doing, how we feel, what we think, who the other person is. reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That means you're willing to stay the course for others. And that and with and doctrine goes back to preach the word. You got to know it first. You got to be schooled in its application in you first, part of which comes through obedience, because that's what this is all about, coming unto obedience to the faith. And there are many things about us that aren't there yet. Things we don't know, things that the Lord has revealed. That which we know, let us bring it into obedience. And so Paul's telling Timothy, and we're all supposed to be ministers, preach the word, be in season, instant in season and out of season. And then he gives a kind of a definition of what that looks like. You have to reprove people. You got to rebuke that which is not of the Lord, which is not of the word, which is not right doctrine. You need to exhort them. And you know that word exhort is kind of interesting because it says to call near. You know, to call them unto the faith. To seek to build that up in them. Not their righteousness, not something they've done, but the faith. To exhort them. And you don't get tired of doing that. But you stick with the word. And you stick with the doctrine, the true doctrine of Christ, that which we know Paul was zealous to keep more than anyone else we see so plainly in the New Testament. And he, as do all of God's ministers, that, what did we read there in Timothy, that are approved of God? Do. They stay the course.
There's another thing, Robin, you know, it says being sitting is out of season, and you've mentioned it, in season you feel like it, sometimes out of season you don't feel like preaching to someone. But I found over the years, sometimes when you don't feel like talking to anybody for some reason, maybe because of the way they look, or you're having a bad day, or whatever, sometimes because you're obedient to the Lord and you preach the gospel to that person, powerful things will happen. And I have experienced that over the years. Because it's obedient.
Go ahead.
You're being obedient to the word. You're being obedient to your commandment there.
And it's how you come to actually, it's part of the warfare that we have to fight to do the word of God for us to know God. We can't know him just by sitting around thinking about it. We know him, like with anything, when we do him, so to speak. And the Lord has things to teach us. And when you were talking, I thought about the testimony of Corrie ten Boom, because all of these are the expression and the commandment of God for us to love. Why do we preach the gospel? So another person can be saved. Why are we long-suffering, and why are others long-suffering to us? So that we can be saved. That's why. This matters. But I think of the testimony of Corrie ten Boom, and where she started and where the Lord took her. And the end of her conversation was a beautiful testimony of the grace of God and that alone. And she could have gone off and thought herself somewhat, but what the Lord had brought her to was to know that he was somewhat. And there's two things that I remember about Corrie's testimony. One of them was when, after the war, and she had preached the gospel to, like in an auditorium or something, to a bunch of people, none of whom she would have known. And a man came up to her and asked, and he had been a guard in a concentration camp, and he asked her if she would forgive him. She recognized him. He didn't know who she was as far as that. He didn't recognize her, but she recognized him because he had been a guard in the camp she was in. And Corrie ten Boom could not forgive him. But through the simple act of obedience to Christ, she put out her hand, and when she did, the forgiveness of God filled her, and she did. But she went on to go into the East, where communism, you know, with the Iron Curtain and all. And the thing that was so forward about her is she'd go into these, where she was staying, a hotel room or whatever, and she knew they were all bugged. And instead of sitting around talking about how evil it was or something, she'd get down on her knees and out loud pray for those listening to everything she did and said. She prayed for them. And talk about throwing out a seed and not knowing what the end of that was. She got where she got it. She didn't start knowing it. I mean, she was Miss Complainipus, and doubter. Even when she was young, you know, she was the one that questioned. But boy, didn't she come to a right place, and she came to it. Because she knew God was true. Didn't mean she understood it. Didn't mean she had her arms wrapped around it. But she didn't depart. And as she stood up and walked in obedience, the Lord was there and filled her with the knowledge of him. And I think that the end of her life was one of only thanksgiving for the enormity of the goodness of God to her and to everyone else, and that's what she preached. And that's what the Lord is about accomplishing in each of us. So let us do what it takes And a lot of it is just simply, like we've read, you know, get that word in you, know it. Don't assume you know it. Make sure you know it. Study it. I know that Davey still studies the word. I know Daniel was reading the word after he had stood under, against the mouths of lions. He was still studying the word. It's to the end of your life you open up that book and read it and digest it by faith. And then you also go out and that which you have, you give it to others. What you don't have, what does that matter? You got what it took to be saved, so what do you lack? Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Well, next week we'll continue on. So may the Lord bless you and may you do what it takes to be his servant in whom he is not ashamed. Amen. Approved by God. Good night, everyone.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.